Welcome to the School of the Holy Spirit. We shine the light of Jesus over you. We sprinkle His blood on you and wash you with the water of His Word. Lord, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Holy Spirit, send forth your flames of fire, ministering spirits, your angels, to minister to all the listeners. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened so that you may know the limitless love of the Father in Christ Jesus for you.
Yeah, it was a word that was like, you know, it's like a drip drop, you know, you're getting one piece here, one piece there. And, you know, and sometimes you don't even know what you're getting. You're just getting pieces together. And the next thing you know, you just like get the whole shebang. So I posted this word on my Facebook, because usually when I wake up, I spend that time with the Lord. And I'm not spending time so I can get words. You know, I've gone through those stages where, you know, you go through stages where you're like, okay, you know, I'm going to get a word so I can get it posted. It can be sent to an Elijah list or whatever. You know, the Lord kind of takes that away from you after a while. So now I just, whatever I think that I think I need to post, I'll post. I'm not looking for people to click likes or whatever. I just post whatever the Lord gives me. And the title to what I wrote this morning is called Silent Kings Become Like Ahab and Silent Priests Become Like Eli. Money and fame, hungry, unrepentant traitors become like Judas. What does that mean? Well, you guys know what happened to, you know, Ahab. Ahab got in a relationship with Jezebel, and Jezebel corrupted him. And as the kings go, so does the kingdom. And we see that. But then during his silence, of course, there's equilateral powers that the Lord has established, prophet, priests, and kings. And when the kings are not doing well, guess what? The prophets stand up and they go in place and take care of business. So, you know, Ahab was doing some really wicked things. He was very unjust. You know, he tried to take people's land just because they felt like it. And, you know, he was pretty much just, you know, that kind of person. So my whole thing is this. I'm not the person to just write stuff just because somebody's talking about it and everybody's talking about it. I'm not like that. I'm the kind of person where right now it's whatever God says and whatever He's showing me, that's what I'm going to talk about. You know, some things, yeah, maybe here and there, but for the most part, I'm not in the business of getting myself in businesses. That's not my business. It's my business. And I think it should be that with every prophet and every man of God. So if you're standing in the counsel of the Lord, guess what? It's your business. If you're not standing in the council, then it's not your business. So if the Lord is bringing it to you, if it's coming in into my dreams, then it's my business. If it's not coming into my dreams, it's not my business. If the Lord is not speaking to me about it, it's not my business. But if He is, and He's telling me about it, guess what? It's my business. So that's why I wrote what I wrote. And, you know, I got pieces in here and there, but this is very serious because, you know, the church, we need to come to a place of repentance. And the only way that we can grow is because we need to move back to a place of holiness. And there is no excuse for anything but that, you know. And I understand that, you know, the way that we judge is the way that the Lord's going to judge us. But guess what? Just because we don't judge strictly does not mean that God is gonna not judge us at all either, you know? So especially if you're a teacher and you're a person that stands for righteousness, guess what? The Lord is going to judge. I mean, look at Eli, right? You know, Eli was a priest who, he wasn't doing like his children. He wasn't out there taking off the sacrifice. He wasn't taking the money and everything. He was not doing any of that stuff. But guess what? He didn't discipline his children correctly and he didn't do what was right before the Lord concerning his children. And you know what happened to him? He died. He died and he lost all these children died too as well. So it's like, it's our responsibility to make sure that our children and those that are under authority. And what I mean by that is people that we wash their souls over. We need to do that. And the other thing is that if you are in a place like Elijah, right? Elijah was not the king. Elijah was not the high priest, but he was not even a known prophet at that time. He was just like another obscure person. Nobody knew anything about Elijah at all. But he stood in the place of righteousness and he spoke out against injustice. And the Lord didn't even tell him. It never said anywhere in the narrative in 1 Kings 17 that, oh, you know what? The word of the Lord came to Elijah and told him to go out there and, you know, talk to the king. He didn't. He just went out there by himself, and based upon the fact that he said, hey, as the Lord God lives, the Lord God of Israel live, before whom I stand, and that is the important key you need to understand. He stood in the counsel of the Lord. That means he had privy to secrets of man and the secrets of what was happening in the darkness. And he was told by the Lord, or revealed by the Lord somehow, because he stood in the council and he said, there shall not be dew nor rain in these years except at my word. Now, that was at my word. He didn't say it. He didn't blame it and say, oh, this is the word of Jesus. It's the word of the Lord, or this says the Lord. He said, at my word. And then we see James in James 5, 16 through 18. Guess what? We hear in there James confirming this. James, the brother of Jesus, he says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed, that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Elias, this who is Elijah, this Elias is in Greek, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly. What did he do? He prayed that it might not rain. He didn't say that he will not. He said that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. We know the second section of it, the Lord told him, prayed, it was going to rain. But in this section, the way that it started is Isaiah 60, which a lot of people are quoting, because it's actually started with specific person, individual. They talked about that this time that we're entering in the last 2-3 years, I think, is Isaiah 60 time. That it's going to be dark. A deep darkness will engulf, will surround the earth. But even greater darkness will be on the people. Why the greater darkness? Why? Because the people themselves will be full of demons. And so the darkness will get dark. And the little light that each and every one of us have right now, it will shine bright. You saw that during the pandemic. You know, there was such gross darkness. There was such impenitent, or should I say the word, impotent men of God and women of God who called themselves apostles, but they did not stand as apostles in the place of apostles, in position of apostles. And they did not speak against the tyranny of governments. They did not speak against those who came against the word of the Lord. I told you guys a story about Hinojosa when the government, I believe it was an Islamic government at that time, stood up and said, there will not be any churches or any crusade held in Nigeria. And he stood and said, wait a minute, God, what do you say about this? And the Lord turned around and said, okay, Hinojosa, what do you say about this? And he goes back to the Lord and he said, God, I don't know. You tell me, what do you say about this? And the Lord said, what do you say? He finally figured it out in the picture. And the picture was, whatever I say, whatever I do as the righteous man, as the leader of this country, as the religious leader of this guy, as the king and the priest of this country, in the matters of God, is that's how it's going to go. And he realized, oh, whatever I say out of my mouth is what the Lord is going to back me up. And he said this, I'm going to call Reinhard Bonnke, and we're going to have the biggest crusade in Nigeria, and nobody's going to come against it. And if they do, we will hold judgment against them. And what happened? They had the biggest crusade in the entire Nigeria at that time, and many people got saved. And then the whole jurisdiction, the whole nation, the whole government backed down because of one man speaking things as though they were. And he spoke and he said, guess what? We will have a crusade and we will do it because not on my dead body. And guess what? A lot of people were offered that opportunity in the United States to speak and to preach. And not many of them took it. And the ones, some of them, like Rodney Howard Brown, he got arrested for that. He actually turned himself in. But he got arrested for having church during the pandemic. And guess what he's doing now? The revenge, or should I even say the justice. He's been having church for 1,200 or 300 and something days since that time, every single day, they call it the stand. And the anointing and the power that comes from that place is amazing. Why? Because there are people out here that are here to make money. There are people out here who just preach for gain and fame and all this other stuff. But there are people who stand in the counsel of God, and they're not here to just have a nice day, have a nice whatever, you know, pay me your tithes and I pay my bills and all this other stuff. And there are people that are here because of the fact that God is up to something, and then they will take it by force. Violence takes it by force. Christians are not on vacation on a cruise ship. We are on a battleship, and we need to take our positions because we have been at war even, what, since 2018, I remember. The Lord spoke to me about Daniel 2:21 and 22, that he's the one that raises up kings. He's the one that removes kings. He shows secrets, and he reveals the things that are in the hiddenness. And there's going to be a changing of the guard, and there is that is happening. And the powers that be, they don't want to let go, and the powers that's going to be there, they're going to be placed in their place. But the prerequisite, I believe, is humility in this whole thing. Because what we need right now is we need to pray for mercy. The mercy of God, because the mercy of God is the only thing that's going to keep the judgment of God on the entire body of Christ. And we need mercy to receive the glory of God. We need to sit in the seat, okay, of mercy. We need the mercy seat. And there is no if, buts about it. And I believe even in the article or whatever that I wrote this morning, you know, I'm going to post this. Is that, you know, there's two kinds of people. I remember one time we had somebody who the Lord showed us is going to be a traitor, you know, in the school of the Holy Spirit. And we knew this. I spoke privately to Elder Inez about it. We knew who this person was, even from the get-go. We knew it from the beginning. We knew it. But guess what? We allowed them to be part of the whole thing. But the reason for allowing them was not because that we didn't know. The reason for allowing them is because we knew, but because we knew, we said, look, this is either going to be both disciples. They were both part of the 70 or both part of the 12. They all did miracle signs and wonders. But Jesus said, don't glory in the fact that you can do signs and wonders and miracles, but glory in the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you have made it. And guess what? One of them, the son of perdition, didn't make it. And why is that? Because he did not have a repentant heart. He had a heart like Saul. Guess what? There's a difference between Saul and David. David probably did a lot worse things than what Saul did. You know, Saul was a person that was very presumptuous, and he was not honorable to the fear of God, and he did whatever he wanted to. But the whole thing was not that he did wrong, because David did a lot worse. David killed Uriah. David committed adultery. David did a lot of crazy stuff. But guess what? David did one thing that Saul did not do, was he repented and he said, create in me a clean heart. Wash away. He repented and he said, Lord, I have sinned. I have sinned at you, against you and only you. He didn't put it on the people and say, oh, the people made me do this. He didn't become like Adam and say, oh, my wife made thing. He's like, oh, guess what? It was the money. It was the fame. It was this and that. And guess what happened to those people? They killed themselves. Whether they put their own sword on themselves, or they hung themselves, or they had somebody kill them, guess what? They still killed themselves. That means they took control. That's called witchcraft. Control and manipulation is witchcraft. And guess what? The people that are narcissistic, they want to take control even till the end to show that they're in control, even till their death. That is pride. Nothing but pride. And guess what? God does not give grace to those that are proud. He gives grace to the humble. And so if there is anything that we're going to learn out of this, is to learn one thing. Humility, repentance. Guess what? Because when you stay in humility and you walk toward God, like David did, guess what? God will protect you. He will keep you. And he will defend you. He will defend you. And he will restore you. Jesus came back to Peter and he said, do you love me? Of course, you know this, Lord. One. three times. He restored him. Guess what? He was a traitor too. Peter was a traitor. He ran. He had his tail between his legs and ran away. Guess what? Only women stood up. It was only John, the youngest one out of all the group of people, and women. Back in those times, the women were not looked at in the way that they're looked at equally today. They were the only one in front of the cross. They were the only one who went to dare to go to the tomb and find the body and guard it and say, look, men should be ashamed of themselves because they're not in the church. They're not standing up. And that's why Jezebel is getting a hand and he's getting a hold of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, because they have been bewitched by the spirit of Jezebel. And guess what happens? When that spirit of Jezebel comes in, Ahab, the spirit of Ahab, what is this? It's called the spirit of silence. You're silent when things need to be spoken, when man of God needs to stand up and speak righteousness and the truth and holiness. They're standing up for some popularity and friendship and all this other stuff. I'm not saying that we can't be friends and protect people and forgive and give grace to people. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. But we need to judge ourselves rather than allow the world to judge us. They cannot judge us. We judge ourselves. Wait a minute. We should not be hearing any rumors of such a thing in the church. Wait a minute. What is this? It says, we should not be hearing anything like this. Why is that? It says, wait a minute. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as is named among the Gentiles, among the sinners, that one should have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as am absent in the body, he was not even there, but I'm present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning this person that has done so this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you gather together, and my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your pridefulness, your posts, your YouTube videos, your Facebook, your glory is not good. Know you not that the little leaveth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, and ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for there must needs to go out of the world. But he's saying, guess what? We don't need to keep ourselves from people that are in the world, because we have to minister to those people. But he's saying, keep yourself from those that are called themselves brothers out. Why? Because this is evil, is contagious. It will hurt and it will kill. It's like the sin of Achan. Have you guys heard of that? In the scripture, when the sin of Achan entered the group and the people of Israel, they lost every single war. That's how serious this is. Sickness and disease entered the camp. Until this thing was got rid of. So there is no like, oh, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you. No. You don't need to talk bad about it outside. But you need to judge it inside. And need to remove those people from the places where they're at of prominency. Because every hands that they lay hands on is a contamination. Every words in the spirit that they speak is death, not life, unto the hearers. And it is touching many people. And people are finding themselves. And that is the problem. That is what, when I went to sleep several times during the COVID time, I saw the problem in the church. And one of those problems that I saw in the church was and had to deal with sexual immorality in the church. That's it. I know it had a little story in it. I'm thinking, well, maybe this is something personal. Maybe something's going on. Maybe because if I had this issue, maybe my eyes or something was wandering. No. These dreams are coming because that was the stuff that was happening in the spirit realm. And that is the reason why we were going through the judgment that we were going. And he says, leave from among them. Make yourself separate. And the Lord had to begin to consecrate us and put us in a position where he had to release the fire of God to burn away the dross and remove these filthy things from around us on purpose. And we all had to go through this fire. He's a consuming fire. God is a holy fire. We don't have no buddy systems. We don't have that. These are the things that needs to be placed out there and say, what have I to do? What have we to do to judge them that are outside of the church? Do we not judge them who are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Those that are outside, God judge. But those that are within, we judge. Therefore, put away from among yourself these wicked people. Emphasize that such fornication that is not even commonly named amongst the Gentiles. Then Paul says, you have all been puffed up with pride and have taken the road of least resistance. Instead of mourning, instead of mercy, instead of crying and prayer and coming to God with a contrite and repentant heart, you are all conceited and think that God is blind and cannot see even in the darkness. Like God will just say, okay. But Paul says, even though I'm not present in person, I have already judged this wickedness in my spirit. Paul was neither present in person, yet he judged. Because it was his area of responsibility and as a leader to do so. And I would recall the story of Elijah. When no one stood against King Ahab and Jezebel, one man dared to stand out of his stance and position with God in the council. And the other thing I think is this. Yeah, if you don't want to say nothing because you're not part of that, well, that means you don't have that responsibility. And I think I remember Danny quoting Supressa Sitole saying that when you forfeit your responsibility, you forfeit your authority. Some things are within your scope of authority and some things are not. But if the Lord is showing you hidden things, he says he will, in Daniel 2:21-22, when he raises up kings, he says that he already gives wisdom to those who are already wise. He gives understanding to those who already have knowledge. So what does that mean? That means if I am being told things in my sleep, in my dream, I'm being shown things, that means I have the right to say what I have to say. But this is not about me. This is about us. Yes, we can forgive. Yes, we do that. But does judgment still have to take place? Of course it does. Of course it does. Because that means we don't understand what judgment and justice and all the other stuff. These things do affect us. It affects every single one of us. Whether you want to be part of it or not, whether you like it or not, you're still going to be affected spiritually. And it doesn't matter. Why? Because that's exactly what happened in the times of Elijah. There was a famine that was induced because of the man of God spoke and because of the Lord wanted to open up revivals. And how do you revive? Revival is to revive the hearts. People are calling revival. They want revival. They don't understand the reason revival is because the hearts has gone dull. We have gone lukewarm. We have stood between the fence. That is why the Lord said, I will spit them out because they're neither hot nor cold. I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm because you're useless. Just like the waters of Laodicea. The waters that we're getting were coming from Hierapolis. By the time the hot water springs from Hierapolis got down to where Laodicea was, the water became lukewarm. And lukewarm water is murky. It has dirt. It's not good for washing and bathing because it's warm. And it's not good for drinking because it's not cold enough. And it has bacteria. So guess what? God will spit you out. What does that mean? He will cut you off. He will take you out and cut you out. Because you take a bad apple or bad fruit and you put it in the bunch, you will see what's going to happen. It's going to begin to affect want that. If you're part of the body of Christ, you don't want that to happen to you. And that is something that we have to be the guardians of holiness. We have to be the guardian. I mean, I don't even know if people really understand that we are already one with the Holy Spirit. It says that do not make yourself one with a harlot, because you are holy. One, you are holy with the Holy Spirit. We are one body. That's why it says that we should not be named amongst the people who commit these things. Not even a hint. Not even a hint. And that is very, 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 very important. You know, we're coming around that mountain again. I think I've spoke about this. That we either are going to be the wheat or the tares. The goat nations or the sheep nations. The Lord is going to separate us out of the 12. Going to separate the 2 from the 10. He will. And he is. Do you remember that time when the Levites stood? And they 3,000 people. I don't recall the exact numbers. About 3,000 of them fell at the sword. The Levites stood. They were the only one that stood. That's what the Lord said. Okay, I'm going to select you guys. You're going to be my priest. Because while Moses was up 40 days and 40 nights in the mountain, Joshua at the base of the mountain, the same high priest who was going to be selected to be priest, high priest, the brother Aaron, the brother of Moses, was causing the people to err and to worship an idol. And many of them were committing sexual immorality, and he was there approving it. And guess what? They all lost their lives that day because they were doing licentious things and going crazy, and they all died, all of them. They killed them by the sword, all of them. You know, once you start getting authority, there's a difference between power and authority. When you have power, you can make mistakes here and there. When you have authority, you can't even make a single little mistake. I mean, look at Moses himself. He had so much power and authority, and he had specifically, when we talk about authority, he could have went in the promised land. He got frustrated. He lost his cool. He spoke out of time. And he spoke something, or he did an action that he wasn't supposed to. He hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, which was supposed to be a prototype or foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the rock, and the water comes out of him. And he instead of speaking to the rock like the Lord commanded him, he hit it. And that caused for him not to enter the promised land. And he cried and begged the Lord, "Lord, change your mind. I would love, you know what, you can just but go see it. Go to the edge and look at it from far off, but you will not make it in. You're going to die. You're not going to make it." That's how serious God is. Yeah, we are in the dispensation of grace. I understand that. But this is not filthy grace. This is not sloppy grace. Grace is supposed to empower us to not sin. Grace is supposed to empower us. You know how many times most people are given an opportunity? I mean, even the Lord says this. He says this, that the Lord, he knows how to get the righteous out. He knows how to do that. He says, 2 Peter 2:9 says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government." Despise authority of God. What does that mean? That means that when things become public, it's because they've been repeatedly brought forth, but the people themselves have not heard the voice of the Lord. Such as, look at Eli. You think that Samuel was the first person that brought the word of the Lord of judgment from God to Eli? You got to go a couple of chapters before. You will notice that there was an unnamed prophet that came and spoke to Eli and pronounced the same judgment that Eli pronounced about his sons, because they did not do the righteous thing and time and time and time and time. When there's repeated offenses and there are things that are done, guess what? It's a problem. And guess what? We all may fall in that area. All of us may fall in that area. But guess what? It says even a righteous man will fall seven times. But if he doesn't get up again, guess what? That's the whole thing. The thing about it is the Lord gives a merciful God. His mercy endures forever. And his mercy triumphs over judgment. But guess what? If repeatedly, the Lord has said something and you continually, and then when the time comes, you are offered an opportunity to repent and you still don't publicly, then you're like a Saul and you're like a Judas. Why? Because he has given you opportunities and time after time, you have not come in with a contrite heart and you're defending yourself and you're not repenting. Mercy is what God is looking for. The contrite heart is what God is looking for. You can't hide from God. You cannot hide from God. You cannot. So you know what the Lord will do? He will take away that kingdom from Saul. He will take away the kingdom. He will take away the inheritance. Judas didn't make it. He didn't make it. Didn't make it. Yes, people who commit things as leaders and don't repent must be removed from their responsibility. Yes, you should. Paul said, we are joined to a harlot. We are royal priesthood as special people to the Lord. Let this kind of filth be not even named among you. Yes, the Lord will split this cell into three major cuts, and all that was in the private parts will be revealed to the world. And they will bleed from their private parts until the judgment is complete. The Lord is serious and will not relent on this matter. If these words don't put any fear in you and you want to defend, then you're part of the problem. Fear God and depart from evil. Judgment has begun at the house of God and will continue to the outer parts. Gird your swords, you sons of God, and get to war against the injustices of God. God will not be mocked. It is only the mercy of God that triumphs over judgment. There is no glory without the mercy seat, and with Jesus presides as high priest and judge. That's the seven churches. And the six sins that are in the seven churches in the first few chapters of the book of Revelation. Everybody wants to ascend. Everybody wants to do Psalms 24. Oh, it's the year 2024. So we're in Psalms 24. How do you think you're going to ascend? But there's Psalms 22. That's Jesus Christ being crucified to the flesh and dying. Right? There's Psalms 23. He's in death. He's under the earth. Then there's Psalms 24. You can't get to Psalms 24 until you get to 23 and 22. And that's what the Lord was going to do. He's going to do that. You know, the things we have crossed, the Lord showed this to me. And I felt this very strongly. When we crossed that COVID line, that things are not, even the world prophesied. He says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Even the world prophesied the great reset. And things are not as normal as they were or they should. The world is prophesying. You got the news media are prophesying what the church should be prophesying. We've crossed the line of demarcation. What does that mean? That means there's a threshold. When you cross that line of demarcation, it means that the things that we got away with 10, 20, 30 years ago, we will not get away with in this new era of fire. Because God is a consuming fire and he will burn away things. And you know what? I'm not speaking as though I'm speaking as a man. I'm speaking as though as the oracle of God. Why? Because that is the same way that he will judge me. That is the same way that he will judge everybody else. That is the same way. But guess what? Even Paul was merciful and says, yeah, so that let's deliver this person unto Satan now so that their soul and their spirit will be saved in the end, and they'll barely make it if they are repentant and realize what they've done. That's how serious this is. I mean, it sounds unbiblical, like deliver such a one to Satan. You guys don't understand. When we take responsibilities, Jesus Christ is not only the chief apostle with gifts unto man and all this other stuff. He's also the high priest. And do you guys know what the priest did too? For those in the school of the priest, do you know? The priest judged the matters. They judged. What do you think? Even Jesus was in front of the high priest and Caiaphas and all these other folks. And the Lord, through their Urim and Thummim, told him that one had to be sacrificed for that the world, for that the rest, would be able to be spared. He prophesied it because he heard it. And he did it exactly that. And they let Barabbas go away. And they crucified Jesus. Because at the word of the high priest. So they judged matters. They taught the law and they also judged. So Jesus Christ, he's coming in as high priest. And so we've been saying for the longest that this priestly message is going to be known. It's going to be the biggest thing. As a matter of fact, it has been ever since the Protestant Reformation. It has been the message of the hour. But the Dark Ages have kind of changed that. And the Catholicism has changed that a bit. But God is taking back his church and is restoring his purity and is restoring every saint. So they're not powerless, and they will step into their positions of royal priests and kingly priests. Priests and kings, it has nothing to do with just the marketplace and making money and all this other stuff. No. It has everything to do with great awakening, revival, evangelism, power, authority. Everything to do with us stepping as sons of God in our rightful position and doing things in the order of Melchizedek. Is ruling and reigning and having dominion and occupying until he returns. So yes, the message is going to be out, but it's here to stay. It's not only for this year, next year, and the year after. It's forever. Because that's what he says in the book of Revelation. He has made us priests and kings. He has made us royal priests. He has made us a regal priest. For what? For things like this. Because we will not be able to step in the presence of the Lord with strange fire or filth. And guess what? The time is ticking. And this is not the first. This is not the first one. There's a consecutive ones that are coming. There are more. And it's not going to be on just the sexuality and things. It's going to be about doctrines. It's going to be about other things. It's going to be about all these other things that the Lord did not approve and did not allow in his church. But we, because of lukewarmness, have said, oh, it's okay. This man is very popular. Or this person is so popular. Yeah, I can go and minister. And he invited me to preach. And it's just a door for me to open up. It's a 2024 that lets the door. It's going to open up. It's an opportunity for me to go out there and minister and be known and write books and do this and that. But yet you're compromising and you don't even know what you're taking. The judgment will start. The church. I'm about mercy and about grace. God is about that. That's why he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son that died for us and resurrected. But yet, he does say that when he comes back, he will come with a sword and his clothes will be dipped in blood. Whose blood? Not his blood. It's going to be dipped in blood of the people that he's going to be chopping off heads. And Jesus is doing that even now. I don't want to be on that side. I don't think any one of us, we're making Jesus upset. See, we've known Jesus as the Lamb, but guess what? We're about to know him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he devours every single lion out there. It's not like, you know, this roaring lion who seeks to devour with no teeth. It's a toothless lion. The devil is. The adversary is. But Jesus is coming in power. And you better stand on the right side of history. And you better hear and stand. You better be like Elijah and say, I'm standing in the council. As I stand in the council of the Lord. As long as the Lord lives, I will stand for righteousness. And I will not allow these things to be even named among us. You cannot compromise when it comes to holiness. You may not need to do rumors and talk about people and do all that stuff. We don't want that. That's not what we are. We're not busybodies. But we need to stand up for righteousness, and we need to stand in the council of the Lord so we know what's going on, whether we're present or not present. We need to know. And that's it. That's the Lord. That's the Lord right there. That's the Lord. There is no compromise when it comes to holiness. Holiness is not only about not sinning, but it's about sacredness and separation from the world, separation from the things of the world. We need to be consecrated. God is the judge. And we are the light of this world. And the Lord is living in us and through us. And we must come with fear and trembling and humility. And humility does require for us to do what God has asked us to do. And humility says, I do as my Father does and say as my Father says. And humility is all about standing in the spirit of the fear of the Lord. He doesn't give knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And to end all the matters, fear God and depart from evil. We need to fear the Lord so that the spirit of fear of the Lord will enter the church so we can operate with power again. The reason why people are not fearing the church like they used to is because we do out for mercy. We need to cry out. We need to cry out for mercy from the Lord. We need to cry out for mercy from the Lord. That's what we need to be doing. We need to shout out, God. We rend our shirts. We fast and we pray for mercy. We should not be celebrating when we hear things like this. We should be fearing and having mercy and pray. Because these things shift nations. We lose wars because of sins of Achan. And after the way of Cain, of Korah, and the sins of the Nicolaitans, we lose wars when we do these things and we approve these things unconsciously. When what we tolerate, we accept. What we accept, we're going to be willing to live and fight against for the rest of our lives. I don't want to go around the mountain for another 40 years. I don't know about you, but I believe in the report that we are well able to kill the giants. We are well able to destroy these evil and to move forward. And the heart and the posture that you take today in your hearts will dictate if you will be the one who's going to make it to the promised land or not. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the full message from the School of the Holy Spirit. Find us on the Clubhouse audio app. For more information, visit us at schooloftheholyspirit.club. That's schooloftheholyspirit.club.